Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter. At 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
Prince Georgians, write this down. We are not Ward 9.
Prince George's County has a new county executive. Former county state's attorney Angela Alsobrooks was sworn in on Monday, making history. First woman, first black woman, second youngest person elected to the post. Well, tonight, we sit down with her to talk about her plans for the county. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Certainly tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. And tonight's broadcast is live streaming on the WHUR face page. We invite you to log on to our WHUR Facebook page and you can see the discussion. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. I have had an exciting week and I have been really just so happy to get to work. I've enjoyed it. We've had a productive week and it's been wonderful.
It's been busy for you.
It has been
very, very busy for you. You've had appointments. You've had, meet and greets and the entire bit. I want to get right into my questions with you. As I mentioned, you've got all of these firsts. First woman, first black woman, second youngest person to hold this position. Do you feel the weight of history?
You know what? In some ways, I suppose I do. I am so honored and I am just so grateful. It's a dream come true to have a chance to really serve the community that raised me. It was not lost on me. The significance of it was not lost on me. And you know what? And I have an obligation as a woman to do, I think, a job that is more than anyone's ever seen. You know, so people talk about being the first. To me, it is most significant that I will do the kind of job that I won't be the last. In fact, it's my goal that when I leave, they'll say, she's the best county executive we've ever had. That's what I'm working for.
Oh, don't leave yet. You just started.
Oh, I just started, but I'm still working toward being the best, you know, the best, and really just fulfilling all of the promises that we made. The people of Prince George's are so magnificent, who opened their homes over that 18-month period, who talked to me, who poured their hearts out. So I'm just excited, Harold, and I'm really grateful to Prince George's. Thank you so much for the confidence and for just giving me this opportunity.
What's first?
Education. And I think this week has hopefully reflected already what's important to this administration. We made an announcement yesterday regarding the appointment to chair of Dr. Alvin Thornton. This was an appointment that we are very proud of. Dr. Thornton, as you know, is a luminary, a person who served in education for more than 40 years, who is known as not only an expert in terms of education policy, but is also an expert in education funding, which is going to be significant to Prince George's as we move forward in Annapolis in January to make sure that the Kerwin Commission dollars that will be decided this month are equitable and really satisfy the needs of our children. We have in Prince George's the largest number of disabled students in the state of Maryland that we educate. We have the largest number of students who speak English as a second language. And we also have 62% of our children who are on free and reduced lunch. So it is a large population of students who need us and who deserve the best that we have to offer. So Dr. Thornton is able, a great leader and a teacher, and we are really pleased. Paul Montero is likewise the second appointment that we made as a member of the Board of Education. And we have a talented group of board members. And those two were very pleased to join that board. And we're just looking forward to changing both the performance of our school system, increasing it, improving it, and also improving our reputation.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking to the new county executive, Angela Alsobrooks. If you have a comment or if you have a question, give us a call. I wanted to ask you about your choices. First of all, Paul Montero ran for county executive. We heard when when President Obama first won, that he had a, what's the term, cabinet of rivals. Why did you pick Paul Montero, a competitor for the office that you now hold?
I heard Paul's passion around education. I believe that he articulated a vision around education. He's a person who I'm proud to say is a native-born Prince Georgian who graduated from Prince George's County Schools and used his education to a point where he was appointed to work in the White House of the United States of America. He is a lawyer, but he's a person who I know can contribute to that board. He would like to. I heard his heart on it. And I believe that he represents the best of Prince George's County. He joins his peers in that regard, but he articulated a vision around improving education for our children. He understood best practices and the need to look around the country and to bring to bear some of the practices, even in this region, that will increase the performance of our school system. And I think he has a lot to offer and was really delighted that he accepted the appointment.
And, of course, as you mentioned, Dr. Thornton, in the selection for board chair, are you going to continue to support the hybrid board, or are you going to, like your predecessor, go to Annapolis and lobby for it to return to a fully elected board?
One of the things I said, I thought, well, let me be clear, what I said about this is we have spent so long talking about the structure of the board. In my opinion, the structure of the board has not affected in any significant way the achievement of our school system in the last 25 to 30 years. I believe the conversation that has been really generated so much discord and incivility over the last several years has been counterproductive. We have politicized education in a way that I believe has been harmful to our children. So I have said, you know what? An all-elected board, I would support that. But what I think is most important at this point, I think that there is value in the board that we have now. In other words, it gave me the opportunity to appoint a person like Dr. Thornton to the board. But the truth of it is, I've seen it when it was all elected, all appointed in the hybrid, and it hasn't made any difference whatsoever. What we need is strong leadership, a vision, and need people to work together. We need collaboration right now more than ever. And that's what I'm working toward.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking to the new county executive for Prince George's County, Angela Alsobrooks. Let's talk to Lewis, calling from District Heights. Lewis, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Congratulations. I'm a Prince Georgian who voted for you.
Oh, thank you.
It's a difficult choice. I'm glad about Paul Montero appointment. I'm glad about Dr. Thornton. My question is in regard to domestic violence. I know we have Carol White Washington, Marsha Woodland, and Alicia Stokes, who are people who participate in trying to reduce. And I remember as county executive when you prosecuted the guy who set that lady on fire in Clinton at the T-Mobile store. I was so proud of you. That was one of the determining factors that allowed me to vote for you. So please address that.
Well, thank you so much, first of all, for your support, Lewis. Thanks for calling in. You know, we have worked, and you mentioned some of my absolute favorites. Carolyn Washington has been a huge advocate. Together, we have really, I think, started to turn the table. WHUR has actually been also a huge contributor and supporter in this effort. But you should know that this year alone, we've seen a 20% decline in domestic violence homicides. This is the first time we've seen any change in that number in about the last decade. So our collaborative efforts have not solved the issue of domestic violence, but we are working really as a unit to affect the outcomes. And I believe we're going to continue to see progress with respect to domestic violence. Education, collaboration, enforcement, all of these things have been very important. But we're moving in a positive direction in terms of causing a decline, and we're not going to stop here.
Okay. We're talking to Prince George's County Executive Angela Alsobrooks. She was just sworn in on December 3rd, first black woman to hold this very prestigious position for Prince George's County. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Ben, calling from Temple Hills. Ben, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Ben, are you there? Give us a call back if you can. Let's go to Yvonne, calling from Bowie. Yvonne, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mr. Fisher. How are you?
I'm doing just fine.
Great. I have a question for
Ms. Also Brooks, go right ahead. The county executive, please go right ahead.
Angela, I didn't like the way how your office treated one of my good friends that went to Duke University with me. A church brought up fraudulent charges on her, and you signed off on that. And she went to trial, but the judge threw it out because they had lied on an intelligent, educated woman.
Well, Yvonne, I've got a lot of folks on the line. I'll quickly make your point because I need to go back to the other phone calls.
I was in disbelief that your office would do something like that.
Okay.
So I was very disappointed.
Okay.
Well, thank you for the call, Yvonne. I'm not aware of the case you're talking about, but I do thank you for bringing up that point.
Oh, okay. Well, Yvonne, thank you so much. I want to go back to education. You've got some veterans and some younger folks that you've appointed, again, Montero and Dr. Thornton. What's the strategy, and what do you believe the school system needs to improve?
So the strategy and that appointment, really, you'll see will mirror what we're doing in the government as well, is attracting the best and brightest individuals who have a proven track record, experienced individuals, as well as a mix of those who are innovators, who are new, who are bringing different ideas. And so we have really, we feel that it is best to bring in a number of people who are both experienced, as well as some new individuals who can bring to us different perspectives. So that's what we are doing inside the government. That's what these appointments reflect as well, is a mixture of old and new experiences. And what we need in our school system, first of all, is full funding. We need the resources necessary to address the issues that I outlined with the number of disabilities and other things. But we also need to repair our facilities. School construction dollars are needed. We have a $2 billion backlog in terms of repairs. We have an $8 billion budget that we need to build first-class schools for first-class children. We need to make sure that we are paying our teachers, that the dollars and resources we have make it into the classroom to not only pay teachers but reduce class sizes, to bring paraprofessionals into those classrooms. Also to make sure that we are addressing not only what happens in the classroom, but what we know, honestly, Harold, you can't teach a child who is sleep deprived, one who is malnourished, or who sat home the night before and watched somebody beat somebody else. So there are a number of barriers that our students face outside the classroom. And so we have to use the arm of the government to support families, to get them engaged, to also provide for the, you can't provide just for the child. You have to provide for that child's family to ensure that the child can be successful. So it is really a comprehensive look at how we educate children, what they need from us, what their parents need, and what their teachers need, is putting the focus back where it belongs. Away from all of this talk about who's got the power, and back to what do students need, their parents need, and their teachers need. That's our focus.
Are you going to keep the interim superintendent, Dr. Monica Golson?
Dr. Golson, from everything I have heard, has earned rave reviews. I believe she deserves an opportunity over this year to be successful. And we'll see. That determination has to be made this summer. But I have to tell you, I have heard nothing but rave reviews. And I think the most telling review I heard came from a student who said, I can tell that somebody different is there because of what's happening in my school. So far, I think she's done very well. She's a 27-year veteran of our school system. And, you know, I've enjoyed working with her.
Back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810. Kim, calling from Temple Hills. Go right ahead, Kim. What's on your mind?
Hi. First of all, I wanted to congratulate you on your new position.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I'm a single parent of two, and I'm owed over $80,000 in child support arrears. I do all that I can to try to help it be enforced, and he seems to get away with it. Is there anything your office is doing to address this issue of child support enforcement?
Well, the Child Support Enforcement Agency is one that actually is not governed by the local government, by the county government. That is a state agency. But we would be happy to assist in terms of connecting you with the Child Support Enforcement Agency and to see whether there's anything that we can do. Please don't hesitate to call the county executive's office, and we would be happy to help connect you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking to the new Prince George's County Executive, Angela Alsobrooks. This is a sit-down conversation that we're having with her, the first conversation we've had with her since she was elected. This conversation will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141, and those lines remain open, so please give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Horace, we're going to be talking to you. Also, I believe it's Dial. We're going to talk to you calling from Bowie. And Mike, who just called in from Bowie, we're also going to be talking to you. And we promise we're going to take as many phone calls as we can. We're not just going to talk about schools. Lots to talk about with the new county executive. So please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM in just a few seconds. Stay with us.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, Sirius XM Channel 142, HBCU and Sirius XM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are sitting down with the new Prince George's County Executive, Angela Alsobrooks, just sworn in on Monday and making history. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's talk to Mike, calling from Bowie. Go right ahead, Mike. What's on your mind?
Hello, Mr. Anselbrook. I got a comment. How do you foresee the money that's being made from the casinos earmarked for Prince George's County Public Schools?
Thank you so much for calling, Mike. That's a great question. So the lockbox legislation did pass, and what it says is that the money from the six casinos in Maryland now have to be earmarked for education. Those dollars we believe should go directly into the classroom, again, to assist us in reducing class sizes, making sure that we're able to meet our obligations with teacher salaries. So it will be used really to go directly to the classroom, and that's how those dollars will be spent.
Okay. Mike, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Horace calling from Temple Hills. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Doing just fine.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Horace, are you there?
Oh, how you doing? Congratulations, Ms. Alsobrooks.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah, I remember you from years back when my kids were in elementary school in PG County, and you've continued to do a phenomenal job. My question is, I specialize with substance abuse and in the county and the city, and I just wanted to get a tidbit of what are some of the things you guys may have planned for the reentry substance abuse program that used to be in the Upper Marlboro Jail. I used to go there and speak to the guys and the women, trying to re-enter back into the community. Want to be able to get back in there to try to help them out and inspire them and things of that nature.
Oh, thank you so much for calling, Horace. And you know what? And thanks for asking the question. You are talking about an area that is so important to me. We have, in my estimation, grossly underinvested in people. In Prince George's, and I've said it this way, human development is so important to me. That means addictions. What do we do about mental illness? And so we have hired Dr. George Askew, who's going to oversee health and human services for Prince George's County. He has a very aggressive plan to make sure that public health is one of our priorities. But, you know, you mentioned something else that I want to address, and that's that we have many of these programs already in our correctional facilities. But to be honest with you, Horace, I think we need to do better than that. More than just, you know, in other words, It should not be the case that you have to go to jail to get the treatment you need with addictions care and also mental illness. I want to make sure that we have those resources available in our community. So we're going to work to make sure that it is more easily accessible, meaning addictions care as well as mental care for those who suffer from mental illness. We'll be working through our health department and also working under the leadership of Dr. George Askew, who is coming to Prince George's. So I thank you for the work that you've done and look forward to doing much more.
Thank you so much, Horace, for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. One of the big issues that a lot of Prince Georgians are concerned about is trash collection.
Yes, yes.
Are you going to go back to twice a week? What's the plan?
Oh, my gosh. Harold, you cannot imagine how many people talk to me about trash collection.
Oh,
at
yes,
the gas station, at the 7-Eleven. They didn't, and many of them didn't ask me about schools or anything else. They said, if you don't do something about the trash, and I get it. I understand that we took away from our citizens a service that they really wanted. It is my plan and goal now to make sure that we are restoring that service to them. Now, what we're working out is how it will happen. This was a $6 to $7 million price tag that went with the trash collection. But what I'm hearing from people is that they, and I get it because, of course, I live there, they want to make sure that their litter is collected. It's not just trash. In other words, what I'm hearing from people is litter collection, is code enforcement, is beautification. It's ensuring that their tax dollars are at play. So we are going to do what is responsible and also make sure that we are really responding to the need that I heard so much from our citizens who say, listen, Angela, we love to eat crabs. You know how we love our crabs. You put the crabs in a trash can, and if they pick them up 7 days later, it's a real problem for us. So we're going to work together with the Department of Public Works and Transportation and to find a way to respond to the need.
So you haven't definitely decided the when?
We have not decided the when. Yeah, we have not decided the when, but you can rest assured that this is an issue that I'm already working on, is how we can restore those services to our citizens and at what pace, how it makes sense, whether I don't know whether that still means twice a week, every week, or how we restore it, but that's what we're working on now, is how we can restore some of those services.
Tamara on the Facebook page wants to know what the plans are for Glen Arden beyond Glen Arden Hills. We were streaming, of course, and okay. So she wants to know, we got folks calling, folks streaming,
okay.
You know, on all of our platforms. So what are the plans for Glen Arden beyond Glen Arden Hills?
You know what? I'm not sure that I understand their question, but the development, if they're talking about economic development, what I can tell you is that we will be working and the priority will be to restore to various areas quality retail. We're also focused on making sure that we have restaurants in our area to help us to eliminate some of the food deserts. So the economic development plan is one that really is focused a lot on revitalization and renovation rather than building all new. So in many of our communities, we have beautiful homes and very few places to shop or eat. So that's part of the strategy. I don't know what they mean beyond Glen Arden Hills, but that is the strategy is making sure that we develop each community and that we revitalize those communities. But quality retail and restaurants are a major part of the redevelopment plan.
Tell me something. In the beginning of the interview, I played your We Are Not Ward 9 soundbite. Why did you say that?
You know what? And if you heard the response of the audience, it resonated so true. We have been, in my opinion, gross, inaccurate. The depiction of Prince George's County has been so inaccurate. What it suggests when people say that Prince George's is Ward 9 is that somehow we're inferior to surrounding jurisdictions. And I believe that the opposite is true, that Prince George's County is a model. In fact, 70% of our residents leave Prince George's County every day to power all of these other jurisdictions. It is our talent. It's our workforce. It's our labor that comes into Virginia, the district, and all of these other areas. I was very pleased to learn that the general manager, even at this prestigious radio station, lives in Prince George's County.
Almost everybody here lives in Prince George's County.
In other words, I am recklessly proud of Prince Georgians. And I believe that we have really, it is the way that we have been viewed, not only inside the county, but outside the county, that I think has been inaccurate. But we have talented people who really do drive the economies of this region. And I think it is high time that we are recognized for the strength that we add to this region.
Having been raised here, like I was, is it PG or Prince George's?
For me, it's Prince George's. But I have to tell you that there are a lot of young people who say PG as a term of endearment. So for so long as you refer to it in a way that is loving and endearing, and that really reflects the values that we have and the pride that we feel for our county, for me it's Prince George's. But I have to tell you, for some of the younger ones, when they say PG, they do not mean it in a way that is disparaging. They say it with a lot of pride. And that is what matters to me, is that we speak of our hometown in the way that it deserves to be spoken about, and that is to respect the value that we bring to this region.
I'll take that. Let's see what Angie from Upper Marlboro has to say. Angie, thanks for holding on. What's on your mind?
Hi. First of all, congratulations, Angela. But my question, and since you were talking about Prince George's County, I came from Virginia and moved to Prince George's County because it was someplace positive. I'm not saying that today. There's a lot of negative out there that needs to be cleaned up, and it's because a lot of the politicians have been lining their pockets with money from PG County. But my question is going to be, and I'm going to keep it short, is will you be able to bring back to Prince George's the twice a week trash pickup?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for calling in, and I have to tell you, there is so much positive in our county every day, and that's what we're going to make sure that people understand, the great things that are happening. Twice a week pickup, trash pickup, is high on my agenda, is making sure that we restore those trash services to Prince Georgians. We are working out the details of that and really trying to find a way that is responsible for us to restore trash pickup to our residents. But I can tell you that it's something I heard loud and clear on the campaign trail, and it's something I understand as a person who lives there, that people are very concerned about ensuring that the trash is collected, the litter is picked up, that our roads are clean and neighborhoods are beautiful. So I really get it. I thank you so much for having enough confidence to even move from Virginia to Prince George's. I assure you that your move was not in vain, that we'll work so hard to make sure that you're proud as we are of our hometown, and that we work to address the issues there. We understand that there are issues, but we have so much more to be proud of on any given day, and that's what we're going to continue to focus on.
Thank you so much, Angie. Let's talk to Dial, calling from Bowie. Did I pronounce the name correctly? Or is it Dial?
Dial,
go right ahead.
Yeah, hi. First, I'd like to say, it's refreshing to have a non-politician occupying a political post for the first time in a long time in PG County. And thank you for boldly stepping out to do this. And we're excited about the future. Now, a few years ago, you were a prosecutor in a case that involved a young man who burgled my house. And I just watched as the prosecutor advocate for myself, the victim, and the young man who was a first-time offender in a way that led to the young man turning out to be a lot better as a person. And essentially what you did at the time was you showed a human face to the legal system. Now, you are in government right now. I know you are a compassionate person by reason of that experience. How do you plan to have that human face of government cascade down through your entire hierarchy, through your structure, because you are just one person?
That's such a great question. All of it. Thank you so much, Dial, for calling. And what a wonderful question that is to recognize that we seek out individuals who are not only talented but compassionate and caring, who understand what customer service is about, who understands what service is about. And I can assure you that we have vetted and been very careful in the people that we've selected. We've selected people to lead our agencies and to work in our government who are not only first-class professionals with a proven track record, but I took time to talk to each one of them and to make sure that they had the same heart for our county that I do, and the same enthusiasm and urgency. And we met with that cabinet. I met with my top-level cabinet members, all of the agency directors yesterday, and told them, essentially, I want them to please give me everything they've got, that the people who live in our county deserve to have people who serve them, who care about them and their families. And I feel really confident about the people we have selected. And I'm the leader of this group. And so I can assure you that I will be there to insist on every day that they care for Prince Georgians the way that I do. So thank you so much for your call and for your support.
Thank you so much, Dial. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Sharon calling from District Heights. Thanks for calling, Sharon. What's on your mind?
Yes, good evening.
Good evening.
Mrs. Also Brooks, I'd like to know, is there anything, or do I deal with the county or the state for rent stabilization, especially for seniors? I'm a 73-year-old veteran of the United States. I'm trying hard not to ever be homeless again. And just now they've gone up on my rent $200. I don't have it. I had to come out of retirement to take a job, and it's not as stable, but it's as a substitute at a private school. And it's Rock Creek Christian Academy. To be able to meet my obligations. And I've paid the rent this month all the time. But they've gone up 7.7%. That's what it equals, the amount they've gone up. But because I didn't sign the lease, I said that would be foolish for me, because Veterans Association is trying to help me get a home, and the cost of that, the monthly mortgage, would be much less than that.
Well, let's see. That's quite all right. Obviously, an important issue to you. Let's see what the county executive has to say about that.
So, Ms. Sharon, thank you so much for calling. And this issue is important not only to you, but it's important to me as well. I met with so many seniors during the course of our campaign who explained the same predicament that you explained. And Prince George's County does not have rent control. So what this has meant for many of our elders is that their rents have been increased, often without any services to go along with it. They are living in places where they feel neglected. So one of the things that I can really assure you is that my administration will look at this issue, that we will work with both our county council and our state delegates and delegation to ensure that we are addressing the issue around rent control. There is so much instability there. Many of our seniors feel pushed out of their homes. We want to also make sure that we're looking at the issue around taxes so that our seniors are not pushed out of their homes. So affordable housing is an issue for our administration. I'll work with both, again, the county partners and state partners to address it. But it is an issue for so many seniors, and this is something that we talked about in our platform, and I'm going to address it.
Okay. Sharon, I need you to hang on if you can, because our producer wants to get some information from you to see whether or not there are some resources that we can find for you. So please don't hang up. She's going to take your information, okay?
I do work with the homeless, too. I just wanted to add that, because I especially homeless veteran women.
Okay.
So I work with organizations that deal with all that. Thank you so much.
Well, don't Sharon, don't hang up. The producer's going to pick up, okay? So thank you so much. To that point, homelessness in the county, and we've had this discussion on this program for quite some time. Homelessness happens everywhere, and even in what people would say in Prince George's County is the land of plenty, that there is still an issue there. What plans do you have to help address homelessness from the perspective of shelters? I know you focused a lot on domestic violence, and certainly there's a need for that as well.
So you're right. Housing in general is just an issue in our county. We have a good number of homeless families, which means we have a large number of homeless children in our county. We are going to work along with many of the stakeholders in our county. One of the things we'll do is to start making sure that we are working through public-private partnerships. In other words, I see a need for us to increase our reach, because the county cannot finance all of this by itself. But we have an opportunity, I think, to work with nonprofit sector, to work as well with private funding to help us to address some of the housing needs that we have. Those needs, as you just outlined, include domestic violence housing. But it's also just homeless housing for individuals who find themselves in a situation where they need housing. So we're going to work with the Department of Housing, work with our partners, but we set up a whole office now for stakeholder engagement to develop strategic partnerships that will help us to address this issue as well as many of the others that we know government cannot solve by itself.
On the issue of housing, under the previous administration, Eric Brown was head of the housing department. He's out. What's the mandate for your new housing director, and who is your new housing director?
So we have not selected. We have interim now director, so we do not yet have a new housing director. And we'll work with that individual to decide the direction we go in. But we know that, of course, again, affordable housing is one of the major issues, making sure that we have in all of our areas mixed income housing, making sure that we are solving many of the issues around Section 8 housing, and making sure that we deal with the issues. It's not just housing for those who are homeless, but we also have a strategy to make sure that we're investing in neighborhoods, making sure that, again, revitalization is a part of what we're doing, that we're investing in some of the existing neighborhoods, making sure that land banks, for example, are a part of the strategy to deal with some of the foreclosed housing. And so so revitalization is as much of the plan as anything, is making sure that we're investing and building up some of the already older and existing neighborhoods.
Eric Brown lived in Baltimore but worked in the housing department. Are you requiring your cabinet to live in Prince George's County?
No, we have not made that requirement. We have most of our cabinet level officials live in Prince George's County. But as of now, we don't have that. We've attracted people from all around who are coming to us. And all of them, even in the previous administration, didn't live in Prince George's County. But most of them do.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the phone lines. Christina, she's been patient, calling from Bowie. Thanks for calling, Christina. What's on your mind?
Thank you so much. Ms. Alsobrooks, I'm excited about your leadership. I just wanted to let you know that. I recently learned that the Meals on Wheels program for Central Maryland does not provide services to Prince George's County. I was very disappointed to learn that. And I was calling them because I was interested in a program. They have a GAP program where they have residents who can do run errands and pick up groceries for our senior citizens who may be ill or immobile and not able to do those things. But again, those services are not available in Prince George's. What are your thoughts on that? And I'm not just trying to put a complaint out. I also want to know, as a resident, how can I help to launch some kind of program or do something to serve the seniors in our community?
Thank you so much, Christina, for that. I believe we do have Meals on Wheels. You're saying it's not provided through you said through another group, the group that you named.
It's not provided through Meals on Wheels of Central Maryland, but what's provided in the county is still only limited to certain neighborhoods within the county. So in the entire county is not serviced.
Okay. Well, you know what? I appreciate your bringing up this point. This is something that we will look at. I'm 4 days in, I have to tell you. And so there are many, many challenges that we have. This is one that, of course, would be important to me. I appreciate your noting it, and I can tell you that I will make sure that that I look into this. And, of course, we're interested in expanding to make sure that everyone who needs food in Prince George's County will have it. But in terms of how you can help, there's so many opportunities to volunteer. But we're also always interested in having people who want to apply to come to help join the administration to help us in some of these areas. As I mentioned a moment ago, stakeholder engagement is going to be really important to us. We've actually hired someone to work in that area and to make sure that we're increasing partnerships so that we can serve all of our citizens.
Christina, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. As a candidate, you sat right here and you said that you were happy with Hank Stawinski and that you planned on keeping him. You have.
I have.
What are your marching orders for him going forward?
Well, we want to, of course, continue the progress that we've seen. In fact, Harold, it's just amazing that over the last 8 years, you know, we've had a 50% reduction in overall crime in Prince George's County and a 40% decrease in violence. In fact, I talked to the chief last week and he explained to me that since we have kept recorded numbers. This is the lowest crime rate we have had in at least five decades. So we want to continue that. But one of the things we've said is to make sure, one of the conversations that we've been having is making sure that we continue to invest in our department, investing in the individuals inside the department, making sure that we are promoting and making sure that we are really pouring into the careers of the officers that we have in the department, continuing the training, and continuing to build the relationship between the department and the community. That is so essential. You can't keep safe a community that doesn't trust you. Our community, I believe, has great trust in us. That's the reason that we've been able to see this progress, but we want to make sure that we're never resting on our laurels, that we're continuing to make smart investments, and the chief believes that we can continue to see even further decline.
Would you describe Prince George's County as urban or suburban? Because when you and I were growing up in the county, it was a suburb. It did not have the kind of urban feel that many other jurisdictions, including Prince George's, have grown to have.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the beauties, I think one of the beautiful things about Prince George's County is it's both. I think that Prince George's is so diverse in terms of its neighborhoods and communities. If you go to Hyattsville or to Mount Rainier, you might get a more urban feel. You go to some of the southern parts of Prince George's, you get a more suburban feel. And so it is a beautifully diverse county with neighborhoods that are, you know, that really are expansive. So I say some of both. As we develop more of our urban kind of flavor, it allows us to attract some millennials and some of the newer families. We also have beautiful established communities with people who enjoy suburban living. So it is a beautifully diverse community, and I think it contains elements of both.
One of the things that that has made headlines this year, and it's been a really difficult headline, is the electrocution of that young girl at MGM. Have you had an opportunity to talk with some of the officials with MGM? Because it, with all of the fanfare, and some would argue from an economic development standpoint, it remains a shining star. But this incident has given it a bit of a black eye. There's a cloud over this. Talk to me about that.
So the government has a role to play in terms of keeping citizens safe. And in this instance, the Department of Permitting and Inspections has a role to play to make sure that when we inspect these spaces, that we do so and comply with all of the rules and regulations, that we're holding whatever contractors we have accountable. So we are reviewing. This case, of course, is under investigation, but we will continue to review, from our standpoint, any responsibility we could have had, reviewing the ways that we have operated to make sure that this never happens again. So that's what we're doing. So through the Department of Permitting and Inspections, we're going to work to make sure that all of our procedures and policies are updated. And that we're making sure that all of our citizens are safe. But I have not had conversations with MGM about this as of yet. Of course, I was the state's attorney until 4 days ago, and so we were dealing with it on the investigative side, where, as you know, the case is now being looked at by the FBI, mm-hmm. And is also being also simultaneously investigated by the office.
On the issue of economic development, and we've spoken to you about this as well, not even as from the perspective of the former state's attorney, but just as a Prince Georgian, when is there going to be more upscale shopping and retail coming? We've got Wegmans. We're eating good in
yes.
Prince George's.
We are.
And cooking good.
Yes.
But still, you've got a lot of people that are still going over the bridge to Tyson's mm-hmm. and the like. Any chance that you could see Prince George's competing with that?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, we will compete. You know, Prince George's, over the last even 8 to 10 years, it's amazing how we have grown from a place where we had to go over the bridge to get to a Whole Foods, and we now have one. We have Harris Teeter. We have Wegmans. We now have not the Nordstrom yet, but we have thank goodness, a Nordstrom Rack. And we are going to get better, you know, with every year. And so Prince George, I think others now know what we have known all along, and that is that Prince George's County is a great place to invest. And we're seeing those investments increase every day, including restaurants and retail that want to come to Prince George's County. So we have projects that are underway. Some are mixed-use development projects that are coming to areas like Suitland and Laurel and other places. And you are going to see, over the next period, a good number of those quality retail establishments as well as dining that we have waited for a long time. Prince George's County is a great place to invest, and now I believe the rest of the world knows this.
Are you ready for Amazon?
Oh, of course we're ready for Amazon.
What does that mean? Because that could very well be a sea change for the D.C. metropolitan area, including Prince George.
Well, anytime you have 50,000 jobs that pay in excess of $100,000, there has to be some benefit to neighboring jurisdictions. We know that not only are there opportunities for people who work at Amazon to live in Prince George's, to make it their home, but we expect also to be able to benefit in terms of education and partnerships, to benefit our schools. So we're really excited about Amazon's proximity to our county. It's going to really bring a lot of benefit to us, but just we believe that we will be able to invite over some of the folks who are working at Amazon. But again, we also expect to be able to deal with workforce development. This is a real positive opportunity for us to benefit from Amazon's presence right next door to Prince George's.
Real quick, are we going to be able to keep Washington's football team?
Oh, of course. Of course we're going to keep the Redskins in Prince George's. Where else would they go? They belong in Prince George's County.
That's a question,
isn't it? And we have a space
it?
Waiting for them.
Okay. Angela Olso Brooks, the new Prince George's County executive. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
And again, congratulations.
Thank you.
Certainly we will continue to watch, and we hope you do well.
And thank you. And thank you, WHUR, for always having me on and allowing these discussions. And thank you for your listeners, to your listeners for tuning in.
Absolutely. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Thursday, December 6th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.